Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update podcast for October 9th, 2023. I am your host, John Lothian. In this podcast, we provide an overview of the content featured in today's John Lothian newsletter. We'll cover insights from the hits and takes section, share stories from the first read section, highlight the top three stories from the previous newsletter edition, and delve into the first three stories featured in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the proud home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We invite you to explore our extensive collection of trading history videos on the MarketsWiki Education page at johnlothiannews.com. This includes the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Welcome to Columbus Day, or whatever you want to call this particular banking holiday. But back in 1979, on the Saturday of Columbus Day weekend, new Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker held a press conference and announced a policy change that changed the course of the futures industry. During the Saturday night press conference, Volcker explained, quote, FOMC would shift its focus to managing the volume of bank reserves in the system instead of trying to manage the day-to-day level of the federal funds rate. This is Lindsay et al., 2005. It was an approach that would lead to more fluctuation in rates and, Volcker hoped, rein in inflation. Because Monday was a banking holiday for Columbus Day, the only market open to express your opinion about changing interest rates was the Chicago Board of Trade's 30-year Treasury futures contract. Richard Sandor told JLN in our History of Financial Futures video series that this change and stroke of good luck, which created the bond contract, made all the other financial futures contracts possible. So today I celebrate Paul Volcker and floating interest rates. The Financial Times' Robin Wigglesworth has a story titled The Alpha of Ugliness, with the subheading But Beauty Gets the Flows. A paper by Shengu Bai and Xiwen Tian of Shanghai Jiao Tong University showed that, quote, funds with facial unattractive managers outperform funds with attractive managers by over 2% per annum, unquote. The FT said the paper also reported, quote, good-looking managers attract a significant higher fund flow, especially if the funds are available on fintech platforms where their photos are accessible to investors, unquote. So forget all that quantitative research. People are picking fund managers by how good-looking the managers are, and those funds are getting more capital. But the ugly managers are the best-looking returns. I guess the lesson is, invest with your brain, not with your hormones. Gary DeWall, Dan Davis, Sheehan Band, and Alex Kim of Catton have a commentary titled SEC's Request for Interlocutory Appeal of favorable rulings for Ripple Labs defendants rejected based on well-settled law. Do you want to know what you can do personally to address climate change? NPR has a story titled Individual Actions You Could Take to Address Climate Change that gives you some answers. Veteran journalist Debbie Carlson has written a timely story for Barron's Mutual Funds Quarterly titled The Best Money Market Funds. Today would have been my mother's, Marjorie J. Lothian's, 93rd birthday. A leg to stand on's Rocktoberfest in Chicago was a record-breaking event, according to a source. The event had the most tickets sold, the most sponsorships, and the most money raised the night of the event. You know all those zombie movies and the Walking Dead television series about zombies? Now, I'm not saying this is happening or is going to happen, but Bloomberg has a story titled Zombie Viruses Are Waking Up After 50,000 Years as Planet Warms. Let's call this another reason why climate change is something we want to address. In case you want to prepare for the zombie apocalypse by watching zombie movies, Rotten Tomatoes has a list, 40 Essential Zombie Movies, one of my favorites did not make the list, which is Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. The scouting references are terrible, but then it is a zombie movie, so who cares? Join central bankers, ministers, corporate executives, civic leaders, youth leaders, and academics online this week at the World Bank Group International Monetary Fund annual meetings, October 9th to 15th, 2023, in Marrakech, Morocco. This year's meetings are focused on what it will take to end poverty. Sessions will explore what solutions have worked in developing countries and how jobs, digital infrastructure, and climate action can be boosted for the social good. You can view the calendar and sign up for email reminders of the online sessions with the link in today's newsletter. Following the hashtag WB meetings in English, Arabic, French, and Spanish. Our most read stories last Friday on JLN Options were NSE to launch options on NYMEX WTI crude oil and natural gas futures contracts from investing.com. Trader bets big on VIX spike hours before blowout jobs report from Bloomberg. And Miami International Holdings reports September 2023 trading results, year-to-date volume at record levels, with option volume jumping 25.8% and equities volume surging 44.5% from MIAX. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. First, here's an entry from the Born Tech blog. Three takeaways from FIA Expo 2023. FIA Expo is a high point of the year for the futures and derivatives industry. It doesn't have the glitz and glamour of FIA Boca, held in March each year, or the international appeal of IDX, presented in London in June, or the Asia Derivatives Conference, hosted in Singapore in November. But it is the largest gathering of the bunch, and it delivers a real, quote, meat and potatoes, unquote, look at the industry. FIA has staged the event as late as November in years past, but they moved it up to the first week of October for 2023, and in the process gave all of the attendees a taste of fine Midwestern fall weather, a condition that is sure to devolve into wind, rain, and cold all too soon. Born Tech was in attendance at the trade show and events at FIA Expo and has a few observations and takeaways to share. My comment: this has a Chuck Mackey-like feel to it. Here's a story from the Financial Times. The SBF trial is a reminder that crypto is a rotten business. Financial nihilism has produced this game of monopoly money. If you haven't heard that financial storyteller extraordinaire Michael Lewis has a new book out on the rise and fall of crypto exchange FTX founder and alleged fraudster extraordinaire Sam Bankman-Fried, then you probably don't spend an awful lot of time on the internet. Well done, you. My comment: you can always tell what side of the bed Jemima woke up on, not the side that likes crypto. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Law of unintended consequences caused the great bond rout. Nobody could have predicted the treasury market's collapse of the last 2 years, apart from every critic of artificially low interest rates since John Locke. There is only one true law of history, and that is the law of unintended consequences. In the early 1920s, the University of Chicago economist Frank Knight famously drew a distinction between calculable risk and unknowable uncertainty. He overlooked a third domain, unintendedness, where what happens is not what was supposed to happen. Those whose job it is to maintain risk today tend to focus on the things which probabilities can be attached and shrug their shoulders about everything else. They might do better if they simply assumed that most grand designs will go awry. My comment: there is no law worse than the law of unintended consequences. I think we will see it a lot more in the coming months and years. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline: China's rich and trust total strangers to sneak cash out of the country. Professional wealth advisors connect clients to remittance firms that rely on customer trust and sometimes criminal cash. Imagine trusting your life savings to a group of strangers you know only via WhatsApp. Some affluent Chinese people are willing to make that gamble to get part of their wealth out of the mainland. Take 32-year-old Phoebe, who recently moved almost ₩1,000,000, that's $137,000. To do it, she first had to transfer her money into the account of a local facilitator. Then Phoebe, who requested to be identified only by her first name because of privacy and legal concerns, had to sit tight. My comment. Here's a job opening for you, Chinese money mule. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story by a big margin was CME head Duffy warns new taxes threaten Chicago's recovery, an interview with Terry Duffy from Bloomberg. Second was the collapse of FTX, insiders tell all, a CNBC documentary video. Third was the remaking of the Wall Street Journal from the New York Times about Emma Tucker, the Wall Street Journal's new editor-in-chief. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is from the Financial Times. The headline, the owner of the NYSE wants to expedite your mortgage. Intercontinental Exchange has spent more than $23 billion to overhaul the clunky plumbing of the mortgage market. It's best known as the owner of the New York Stock Exchange. Now it has taken a commanding role in the multi-trillion-dollar market for U.S. home loans. Intercontinental Exchange, or ICE for short, has plowed more than $23 billion into an ambitious year-long bet to overhaul the plumbing of the mortgage market. The Atlanta-based company made a series of acquisitions that it says will allow it to replace antiquated back-office processes and combine a mishmash of technology providers used by lenders and services. The machinery that underpins the mortgage market is ripe for disruption, with clunky and slow-moving operations that are overdue for modernization, industry insiders say. And then here's a story from The Guardian. Death toll rises to more than 1,100 after surprise Hamas attack on Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu warns of, quote, long and difficult war, unquote, as Security Cabinet signs off on wide-ranging authorization for full military action. The Israeli death toll after the surprise attack by the militant group Hamas on communities in the country's south has risen to at least 700, including 44 soldiers, as the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, said Israel was embarking on a long and difficult war. In Gaza, which was pummeled by Israeli airstrikes, officials reported at least 413 deaths, with thousands of Israelis and Palestinians wounded since Saturday morning. Israelis said more than 100 Israeli citizens, including women and children, were believed to have been abducted at gunpoint by Hamas to Gaza. And then finally, here's a story from the Financial Times. The headline, FTX co-founder says Sam Bankman-Fried was, quote, taking customers' money for years. Gary Wang, who was part of the crypto exchange founder's inner circle, testifies at fraud trial. Sam Bankman-Fried's trading firm, Alameda Research, began secretly dipping into FTX customer funds just months after the crypto exchange was founded, the company's co-founder testified. Gary Wang, a former college roommate of Bankman-Fried's, who became one of his closest friends and colleagues, told the jury in Manhattan federal court on Friday that he had been instructed in 2019 to let Alameda have a negative balance on FTX, along with a large line of credit from the crypto exchange. That meant Alameda was soon, in effect, taking customers' money, Wang said. We appreciate your attentive audience for the John Lothian News Daily Update. Kindly think about sharing our podcast with your friends. Additionally, if you haven't already, we would be grateful if you could take a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your reviews aid in introducing our content to new listeners. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.